The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, starting at chapter 9, verse 35. If you want to follow along, it's on page 964 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to them and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or to any town of the Samaritans. Rather, go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask you to think about a time when you were asked to do something and you felt that you couldn't possibly do it. Does it happen often? All the time, thank you, that's the answer. You should have been here with the little people. When you're asked to do something and you don't think you can do it, how does that make you feel?
Terrible.
Yes. Uncomfortable. Makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Have a think about the disciples. They'd been going around with Jesus for quite some time. He'd been doing miracles. He'd been spreading the news of the gospel. He'd been healing. He'd been doing all of those things. And the disciples had been going around watching him. Just put yourself in the place of the disciples if you were going around with Jesus. You're seeing all these wonderful things done. And then he says, "Okay, now it's your turn. Off you go." How do you think you might have felt? I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would not feel at all comfortable. You would be feeling, "I can't possibly do this." And I'm quite sure that's how the disciples were feeling. But Jesus wasn't feeling like that. He gave them authority. He had trust in them, and he thought that they could do it. That still applies today. Jesus gives you jobs to do that he thinks you can do. He's got the confidence you can do it, but you don't always have the confidence. And I can tell you, clergy get thrown into some awful situations at times, times that you could never be prepared for. No amount of college could help you with all the things that we often have to deal with. So what do we do when we're feeling like that? We've got Jesus there to rely. Jesus thinks we can do it. How does he actually help us do that? What's inside of you? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to help you when you think you can't do something and Jesus is asking you to do it. I can remember being very, very concerned, shall I say, when I started teaching. I realised how serious it was, and the disciples must have realised how serious their job was, but I was probably not quite 19, and suddenly I had a class full of little people to entertain, and in the meantime try and teach them something. It's just as well they're only 7, because I was just that much older that I could be a step ahead of them. But have you ever felt like that? What about when you had your first child? You're holding a baby and you think, oh, what a responsibility this is. I have to rear this beautiful little person, rear them properly. Can you think of some other times when really serious times, when you felt you couldn't quite live up to what God expected?
Being married.
Getting married. Sometimes you do stop and think about it, don't you? Sometimes, well, I heard God refer to us one day as 2 star-struck kids, and I think that's what we were. I don't think we knew what we were doing, but we've managed to make it work. Bill, did you say something?
Trying to deal with someone who's very, very
sick. Yes, trying to visit somebody who's sick. Somebody who can't respond as you talk to them. Very difficult. You don't know when. You don't know when to stop talking, when to give them a bit of a chance. So think back to the disciples. There they were. Jesus had given them the authority to go out to heal the sick. How do we heal sick people today in Jesus' name?
Pray.
We pray. And it tells us in the book of James that if you are sick, you call the elders and they pray for you. There's a lot of medical intervention too, and that's fine. But our main way is to pray for people. We have our prayer group, and we've got so many people at the moment to pray for, but we're starting to get positive answers coming back, so that's great. They had to go out and heal the sick. He told them all the things to do, and then he said, don't take any money with you. Well, that wouldn't do in our society. You wouldn't get very far. But in that society, people were used to visiting preachers, coming around, talking about all sorts of things. But there was also a group that was going around at that time called the cynics. That cynic in the Jewish language meant dog, so you can get a idea of what they thought of these people, who went around telling you how to live your life and then started begging for money. Not a very good look at all. Jesus wanted to be sure that the disciples didn't get caught up with that. He says, take no money, go along. If they accept you, they'll feed you. If they don't accept you, brush the dirt off your sandals and keep going. Do we do that? Do we go along and give the gospel out freely and hope somebody's going to feed us? I hope not. But we need to go out and share the gospel freely. Again, there's a couple of funny little passages in here. There's one that says, don't go near the Gentiles or the Samaritans. As I was reading through, that was the one that stood out for me, because if you read the book of Matthew and you read it and follow the story along, Jesus comes across Samaritans and he comes across Gentiles and he deals with them. Suddenly he's saying, don't do that. Don't go anywhere near them. I wonder why that might be. I think there's a deeper meaning too. I think it was that Jesus came to fulfill all the prophecies that were in the Old Testament. And he had to be genuine to the Jews. The Pharisees had already had a go and said that he was in league with the devil, and he wanted to be sure that there was none of that tainting around what the disciples were doing. They weren't to go to anybody except the Israelites. The Jews, if you like to call them that, those who were the chosen people of God, were to have the first opportunity. So as he went around, he was to seek out the lost sheep of Israel, minister to them, give them the gospel free of charge, and leave it at that, not to go near the others. But there's a change. You know the rest of the story, and so you're blessed. After the crucifixion, or after the resurrection, Jesus says, go into all the world. First to the Jews, and then after the resurrection, to everybody. If the Jews came to the Samaritans and the Gentiles came to Jesus, he dealt with them, but he didn't go into their land. He often commends them on their faith, but he doesn't go into their lands. Immediately following this, there's a little bit of a warning where Jesus says, you need to be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. That's an interesting thing to say to people going on that. Be wise as a serpent, in some versions, snake. You think of yourself as a snake? You think of snakes being wise? No, I don't. I think they belong somewhere right away from me. But I don't think of them as wise. But the serpent, going back to the Garden of Eden, the serpent was very wily and able to get around Eve and make things sound like they were right, when indeed they were. That's not the impression that Jesus wants. He wants us to be thinking always about promoting the gospel. When the Pharisees came and accused Jesus of different things or set him up, and it tells you in lots of little places they did this to trick Jesus, or they wanted to trick him, they tried to get him to say something that wasn't right, he always managed to outsmart them. He always had a far better answer than they had expected. And I think that's the wiseness that Jesus wants us to have. He wants us to be intellectual, to know what to say in the right situations. But then we need to be gentle as doves, the dove of peace. We need to bring the gospel to people with love. We need to be thinking about loving people into the kingdom. If people come in here, and I might say we're a little bit off the main road, so we don't get a lot of people coming in. But at Maroochydore and other places, we used to get lots of people coming in for assistance. And we had to be wise in what we gave them, but give it to them lovingly. If we weren't careful, not at Maroochydore, but at other places, they were back. Week after week after week, oh, these people will feed me. They'll give me enough for the week. So you have to be wise, but gentle. Bring people into the kingdom in a genuine and gentle sort of way. Now, this book of Matthew was written about 85 AD, so a little while after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. But Matthew has remembered this story, and he's remembered to tell us that fits in very well to their culture. It doesn't fit into our culture now. But why do you think that story would have been preserved? Maybe there's something that we can learn from it. Maybe we need to go about in a wise but gentle way in bringing people into the kingdom. We need to always be thinking, when we're not confident to do things, we need to be thinking Jesus has confidence in us. He has given us the Holy Spirit to make sure that we can do the jobs that he asks us. Yes, sometimes it is fun, but we always need to remember that Jesus is there. He's always there ready to be able to help.